The title of the message, as you see, is The Gifts of the Spirit. And as a Spirit-filled church, a lot of times people say, well, what type of church is this? And I like to say, well, we're a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. And as a Spirit-filled church, we believe and we teach in the working of the Holy Spirit in our individual lives and within the framework of the church, and we believe that God wants to flow through people, his church, into the lives of other people. And one of the ways that that happens is through spiritual gifts. We live in a time when, to be honest with you, a lot of the teaching about this either just gets ignored or it gets lost. And a lot of people really within the church, I would say probably most of the modern church is ignorant about this particular subject, and or it just gets completely ignored. And because the only thing that really gets preached a lot of times is salvation, and we should do that. We should make sure we preach salvation. And then other times, you know, in Spirit-filled churches, a lot of times we'll talk about the gift of praying in tongues, and we should teach that valuable lesson, and it should be taught. And I believe that every Christian should be baptized in the Holy Spirit and manifest everything that the Holy Spirit has for them. And I believe that a part of that is, of course, praying in tongues. But we want to go through and talk about the various gifts and just teach on that. Make sure we, and I know some of this teaching is in our infusion course as well. But just want to make sure to fill any gaps here. And I want to encourage people to ask the Lord to use you in these gifts, to allow these gifts to flow through you. The church is a safe place for that to happen. And a lot of times many people, they won't flow or operate in the gifts of the Spirit because they don't want to feel like a fool. Well, what if I'm wrong? Or what if people, think I look silly or sound silly when I'm trying to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? What if I miss it some kind of way? Well, there's grace for that. I'd rather a person step out thinking that they're in obedience to the Lord in allowing a gift to operate in their life and they miss it than to never step out. Everybody follow me? And sometimes you may miss it, and you do have to remain humble, and you do have to be able to receive a word of correction. I'm not talking about fussing. I'm talking about just correction that I think you missed it there, all right? There have been times I've missed it. Again, as a Spirit-filled church, we want to make sure that our people understand this. And so in the Bible, we see three types of spiritual gifts. Well, the first group is called the motivational gifts. These are gifts that lead us toward some kind of a style while serving others. And many times, and in many churches, they will teach on the motivational gifts. But because these are not necessarily supernatural gifts in the sense of you can't explain them. These really fall more along the line of very practical ways that we serve the Lord and how God uses us in serving other people. And there's various gifts for that. Our infusion course does cover that. But our goal is not to teach on those tonight. And then there's also the ministerial gifts. These gifts are gifts that God has given to the church to equip the church for service. These are the ones that are listed in Ephesians. We call the fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Again, many, many people today, most people within the body of Christ today, they believe that the teacher is still here and that the pastor is still here, and that the evangelist is still here, but they completely discount the role of an apostle or a prophet, and they say that those do not exist anymore in the New Testament age. And they basically say that after the Bible was written, that was it. God stopped using those particular offices, that they were just foundational. So they have that belief. I don't believe that. I believe that that is a huge error in most of the church. But this is what I know. Whatever you refuse to accept and acknowledge out of God's word, you never get the benefit of it. So I believe in those fivefold gifts. Now, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. What we want to talk about is what we call the manifestational gifts. These are supernatural gifts that demonstrate the presence and the power of God. And I believe that if the Spirit of God lives in you, that God can operate any of these gifts through your life. But just like anything, you have to believe that. You have to receive that by faith, all right? So I want to teach about this third set of gifts, the manifestational gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us 9 particular ways in which the Spirit moves in the lives of believers. And I want to refresh you, I know because many of you have had teaching on this. Again, we have it in the Infusion course. We deal with it pretty extensively when we do the ISOM or International School of Ministry courses. And I've taught on it from this pulpit many times. But 1 Corinthians 12 gives us 9 particular ways in which the Spirit moves in the lives of believers. And I just believe that maybe for some of us, because although I see some of those gifts operating in some of the people in this church, hear me again, this is a Spirit-filled church. And it should be expected that people are operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Can anybody agree with me on that? Okay. So we're going to talk about how they function in the church and the lives of Spirit-filled believers, and also how to open yourself up for these manifestations to operate in your life. Now let's go to the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. And the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. The reason I'm teaching on this tonight, brethren and sistren, is that I do not want you to be ignorant on this subject." Okay? That's not an ugly thing he's saying. Ignorant doesn't mean an ugly, it's not an ugly word. It just means you don't know. All right? So Paul, it was so important to Paul that he talks about this subject and he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to know about this. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now notice what it says. It doesn't say the gift of the Spirit. It says the manifestation of the Spirit. And I'll point out why that's important here in a little bit. To one, there is given through the Spirit of the message of wisdom. We call word of wisdom, because that's the way the King James puts it. To another, the message or word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, or some would say discerning of spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. Now, he uses this word gives right here at the bottom, but at the top where we read earlier, it said manifestations. So before we look at these gifts or manifestations, let's look at a few verses as Paul gives some understanding about the operation of the Spirit. Verse 1, it says, "Now about these spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Again, it is important for the church to have a working understanding of the important place of the Holy Spirit within the church. Why? Because if we don't, we will lean to our own understanding. We'll try to make things happen by our own natural giftings and abilities and pretty much leave the Holy Spirit out of it. I've used this illustration many times, but about the Chinese minister that came to the United States and the pastor that was hosting him after he had traveled around to church after church, you know, and went to a lot of these big mega churches and everything. And so afterwards he says, "Well, what do you think about the church in the United States?" And the Chinese minister says, "Well, it's amazing to me what the church in the United States has been able to get done without the Holy Spirit." What an indictment on the church. So look, we can use marketing abilities, and we can use talents, and we can make it all about talent and ability and putting on a show. We can do that, but is the Spirit involved at all? And so let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God can Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So the gifts and the manifestations of the working of the Spirit is all to point toward Christ. And that's why he's using that or talking about that in this context of the gifts of the Spirit. And there is a danger of a Christless Pentecost where gifts, and this is the other side of it, gifts and demonstrations of manifestations of the Spirit of God take precedence over people being drawn toward Christ. Now listen, I've been around this long enough, many of you have too, where people forget that it's about the relationship with Christ, and then it becomes almost like a learned spiritual behavior type of show that happens. And you can go to a church, and you know what's already going to happen in that church before you go. I mean, you can go and you know that at some point in time, somebody's going to get up and start running around. At some point in time, somebody's going to start jumping and dancing. And at some point in time, somebody's going to stand up and maybe speak in tongues. And or there will be other things that happen, or people may fall and shake and roll and whatever. And if God is moving in that, and it is God moving, well, hey, so be it. But over the years, I have seen where people get a learned spiritual behavior, and they just think, well, hey, this is what it's all about. And really, Christ isn't a part of it. Does that make sense? Everybody understand what I'm saying? So don't be scared of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Look, we need more people jumping, running, crying, shouting, falling on the floor. I mean, I don't have a problem with any of that. It's just, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, I've had the Holy Spirit hit me in times in my life in churches where I made a plumb fool out of myself. Naturally speaking, I mean, there's been times when, at the beginning of the service, I come up to the altar and somebody touches me and I'm laying on the floor through the whole entire service, right? So I just, that kind of stuff happens, but it's the Holy Spirit, right? And it better be the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is we're not just looking for a Pentecostal show here, but we do want the Spirit of God to move. So basically, the Spirit doesn't come to compete with Christ, but the ultimate goal is being used by the Holy Spirit. People can jump and shout and dance around and fall on the floor and do all that kind of stuff. But if their hearts aren't changed and drawn toward Christ, what have we accomplished? Most of the time, that's not the case. Usually it's the other way around, where he ain't allowed to move at all, right, in many churches. I mean, there are a lot of churches that are, they call themselves Spirit-filled, many times even use the word Pentecostal or charismatic. And yet they tell you in a service, whatever you do, don't speak in tongues. Don't speak in tongues, because that's going to freak people out. Don't do that. So verse 7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The King James says, for common good, it says, to profit withal. So manifestations of the Spirit of God are to benefit the body of Christ. Hear me. The gifts of the Spirit are to benefit the body of Christ. If it's not benefiting the body of Christ, then it's not a gift of the Spirit. And let me give you a take on that. If it's about you showing off what you think you can do, that ain't benefiting the body of Christ. This is extremely important. The gifts of the Spirit were never intended by God to be used by someone to bolster their own sense of self-importance or value, or to make a Christian celebrity out of someone. You know, I get this often because of all the miracles and things that we've seen over the years here. I have pastors all the time trying to tag me and say, "Oh, but you have the gift of healing. You have the gift of healing." And I'm always having to correct that. And I'm always having to say, I have the gift of healing available for me, just like you have the gift of healing available to you, and every person in the congregation has a gift of healing available to them. And actually, it says gifts of healing. It's more than one, because God heals more than one way and more than one type of issue in our lives. So I always say, look, don't look at me. I don't have the gift of healing. It's the Holy Spirit's gift. I just allow myself to be a conduit, and I try to teach you to do the same thing. In fact, that's why I have this picture up here, and I want you to notice this pipeline right here, and there's 9 pipes running through there. And that's all we are. We're just a pipeline. We don't own the gift. It's not our gift. It's His gift that He flows through us, and the receiver of the gift is not us. The receiver is the guy or the gal on the other end that needed God to touch them, and He just happened to use you as a pipeline to get His gift to them. Amen? But I don't have a gift. You don't have a gift. They're the Holy Spirit's gifts, all right? And so, as the Apostle Paul said, now to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Again, the gifts of the Spirit were never intended by God also to be used as a weapon to hurt people. And I have seen that happen. When we first came to Iway, there was a man who claimed to be a prophet that was in the church. He only lasted one Sunday after we got there. But he loved to tell people he was a prophet. And I believe me, listen, prophets still exist. I do believe people still operate in that office. But he was not a legitimate prophet, and it was a pride thing. He had just grabbed a hold of a title, and then he would go to prophesy over people, but his prophecies did not come from the Spirit of the Lord. And he would injure people with his words, with his prophetic words. He would injure them, okay? And he would say it was from God. Well, again, literally, the first Sunday we got here, I said, God, you got to do something with this guy. Ask him to leave or something. And literally, that couple days later, he comes up to the door of the church, and he had a real smug look on his face, and he said, well, I just want you to know something. I can hear from God. I said, well, I'm really glad you can hear from God, brother. That's good. And he says, well, and God told me to leave this church. I said, brother, I know you can hear from God. I'm absolutely convinced about that. God bless you. It's been good to know you. Go be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, do everything God told you to do. I know you're hearing from God. And so, but the point was, if he was hearing from God in a prophetic sense, he had no wisdom to know how to use the gift. All right, so again, that gift is not to harm people. Now, it doesn't mean that gift will not correct people. And it doesn't mean that people won't get offended over it because they feel like somehow they've been exposed and they wanted you to think they were wonderful, right? So I'm not saying people will never get upset when the gifts are in operation, but the intention should never be to bolster oneself up and purposely harm people and use the gift in the wrong way or to try to manipulate people with the gift. We had a situation years ago. I remember somebody was, they started out, they stood, they began to give a prophetic word, and it was from God. I know it was from God. I mean, I recognize it was the Spirit of God that was speaking through this particular woman, but she had an issue in her family that she wanted to fix. So then she began to, as though she were speaking from God, directly giving, talking to those people about what they should and shouldn't do and telling them God don't like that. But doing it without directly pointing at them. But because we knew the situation, and we knew that she knew the situation, we knew that wasn't God. So I had to tell her, listen, I appreciate you being bold enough to stand and let the Lord speak through you. I said, but one of the things that we all have to learn is when God stops speaking, you need to stop speaking too. I said, because there was a place where God stopped speaking, but you kept on. All right? Well, that wasn't easy for her to receive, but she did, and she humbled herself. So, again, it's, you know, we want to use the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to talk, after I finish with dealing with all this, we'll get into the fruit of the Spirit. Because I want to tell you, you cannot use the gifts without the fruit. The gifts do not belong to us, as I said. They are the Spirit's gifts. He uses us as those pipelines we said. He flows through us. And you know what? You don't have to be a pretty pipe. You don't have to be a perfect pipe. You don't have to be, I mean, these are nice and shiny pipes here, but you don't even have to be shiny like that. I mean, look, God will, you make yourself available, God will pour through you. I tell the story of, you know, we had a man that got saved here, but he got saved here because another man who was a really wicked person who was on, you know, who has, he's got the death penalty right now sitting in prison. But he opened his mouth and told this other guy, you know there is a God, and that's all it took. God used this pipeline to speak a word to this other guy that he said that was a Saturday, that Saturday night. He said, I couldn't sleep all night long. He said, I couldn't wait to go to a church. And so he came to church here, and I'll never forget. I mean, man, when he was at that altar, snot running all the way down to the floor. I mean, big puddles of tears. Because he said, I couldn't get those words out of my mind. Well, God used a man God was in pursuit of this man, and he used someone who had at least some kind of knowledge about God to speak a word that brought life to this man, even though that man himself was very far from God, the one that spoke it. So, again, my point is, if he can use him, he can use you. So don't disqualify yourself from that. Now, you do need to set a good example when you're going to represent the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, God is looking for somebody to flow through. And again, we can never lay claim to those gifts. I've seen people get very, very prideful, saying in a very, very haughty way over the years, well, I have this gift. I even heard some guys in a conversation one time, and they were arguing over which gift was the most valuable gift to the church. And I'm thinking, the only gift y'all got right now is the gift of stupid right now. That's about it. Because, I mean, come on. I mean, think about that. That God is nowhere around that. So, first of all, your value doesn't come from your gift that you may operate through. And I've said this many times, but your value comes from what? The blood of Jesus. The most valuable thing that's ever touched this earth, God was willing to spend it for us. That's where we get our value. So it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about us. I have to remind myself of this all the time. My value doesn't come from my performance. It doesn't come from my failures. It doesn't come from anything but the blood of Jesus. Amen? So I don't have to have spiritual gifts to give me value. I'm valuable to the Lord already as it is. All right? So I want you to go ahead and tell somebody, spiritual gifts do not belong to us. We are, again, pipelines that can flow his gifts through to others who need to be ministered to by them. We're also not limited, and people would argue this, we're not limited to only being able to be used with one gift. Some people have the idea that, well, if I operate in the gift of healing, if that flows through me, well, then that's the only way that I can operate. But those gifts, I'm convinced that all 9 of the gifts of the Spirit are available to all of us. I have all 9 of those gifts. I have flowed in all 9 of them at different points. Now, I have noticed there are some that I flow more frequently in, and I'm kind of more comfortable with that, you know. And obviously healing is one of those, but words of knowledge, I typically can flow pretty easy with that. Word of wisdom, I flow pretty easy with that. Discerning of spirits, I've learned to flow pretty easy with that. But then there are others that I don't flow with as much, but it doesn't mean I can't. And it doesn't mean that you can't. So my desire here is that this church will begin to crave these things for God's glory. God, use me in these gifts. Let these gifts operate in and through me, not for my sake, but for the sake of someone who might need it. Whether you're in a grocery store or on the job or whatever. I mean, one of the most powerful things that I've seen is, especially when somebody has a word of knowledge for someone like Jesus with the woman at the well, and she goes and tells these people, man, he told me things about me. There's no way he could have known that, right? He said all these things about me. He knew I'd been married 5 times, and now I'm living with a man, and there's no way he could have known that. So it changed her life, and then it changed the lives of many other people. So that's just one example of those gifts and the power of those gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them, notice what it says, in all men. He works all of them in all men. None of us are disqualified for any of those gifts if we're in Christ, right? If the Holy Spirit lives in us. So not everybody's going to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. not everybody's going to necessarily operate in the same motivational gift like that. But when it comes to the manifestational gifts, we can all operate in all of them. And I'm convinced of that. So God will use anyone, any one of his children, to be a pipeline of whatever gift is needed at the time, if they're willing and obedient. There are some who try to use the scripture about, you know, desire the best gift. And they try to say that none of the other gifts are even important except for prophecy, because it's in the context of tongues and prophecy. The Apostle Paul was talking about, I'd rather, you know, someone prophesy in a language where a person can get the word than for everybody to be speaking in tongues. But he's dealing with a Corinthian church where they were so excited about tongues that when people would walk in, they're all speaking in tongues. And so there's no preaching in the common language of the people so that the word can get through, because they're just excited about the gift of tongues. And so he tells them, you're going to have to limit this. And he's talking about tongues that requires interpretation. So he says, if there's no interpretation, he says, calm down, speak to yourself and to God, right? In other words, if you're going to be using tongues, then use the kind of tongues that speaks to God, not tongues that's supposed to be speaking to other people, where the gift of tongues that requires interpretation is for other people, all right? And that's important to understand. So, again, these manifestational gifts can be broken into three important groups. The first group is the speaking gifts, and that's tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The second gift is the knowing gifts, distinguishing of between spirits or discerning of spirits. By the way, there is no spiritual gift of discernment. It's discerning of spirits, okay? And that's important. The message or the word of knowledge, and then the message or the word of wisdom. Those are the knowing gifts. It's knowing something that you can only know supernaturally. You can't know it naturally. It's not natural intuition. It's knowing something that God is showing you. It's the only way you're going to know it. And then there's the power gifts. We love those. Supernatural faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. Well, of course we love those, right? Because, there's something evident that you can see that blows your mind. But all the gifts are important. So before we look at these verses, one other point is given in verse 11, that all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, meaning that this is all through the working of the Holy Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. Remember, the best gift, the scripture says, eagerly desire the best gift. What is the best gift? The one needed in the moment. So, and he gives, when he's given the gift to someone, he's not giving it to us unless we need to be the recipient of the gift to receive the benefit of what that gift does, but he's looking for somebody to flow through so he can get that gift to that other person. So it's not that everyone possesses a gift. Again, they are the Holy Spirit's given as he wills, and we want God to move through us for other people. That way nobody can get prideful and nobody can start boasting about their gifts. We are, as we said, just conduits for that gift to flow through to others. And I taught on this too, about Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Then he turns around and he tells his people, now you're the light of the world. But the idea is we're more like the moon. He's the sun. We're like the moon. He shines forth his glory. We reflect his glory. All right. The Bible even calls the moon one of the lights in the sky. Right. So that's the kind of light we are. We are reflectors of the light, just like the moon, but we're not the source of the light. And by the way, the closer you get to the light, the brighter you're going to shine, all right? So the person receiving the gifts are the persons being ministered to by them. So let's start by looking at the speaking gifts. We got a little bit of time. But the speaking gifts, I've chosen to start with these because these are probably the most known within most Spirit-filled churches. Number one is prophecy. This is a strong word of the Spirit to the church, right? There's no tongue, you know, like gift of tongues in operation with it that precedes this word. It is spoken out of a known language. And understand that prophecy, many have taken this gift and try to say that all this is preaching. They say that prophecy is only preaching. Why do they do that? Because they have to take all the supernatural elements out of it. I was talking with a preacher of a particular denomination that doesn't believe all these things one time. And I said, so you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit? You don't believe that these teachings that Paul is giving to the Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit would have anything to do with us today? If it didn't have anything to do with us today, then why in the world would he be teaching it to people who are going to outlive him? And the pastor says, well, I do believe in the gifts, but I believe like prophecy, that's just preaching. And I said, okay, all right. So even if you were to take all of those gifts and try to put a natural meaning to them, what in the world are you going to do about the one called miracles? You can't explain that one naturally. Well, I think that ceased. I think that all ended when the last apostles died. So people will try to do that. So what happens is people have to come up with a weak, powerless theology to make an excuse for the powerlessness of their churches. And what a shame that is. What a shame that is. Because the people are getting ripped off from a lot of stuff that Jesus paid for. Amen? So, again, prophecy is a strong word of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit to the church. And let's look at a little sub-point here. A, it's sometimes a word for a future event. Now, some people don't believe that those future events, that people can still prophesy future events, but I've seen it. I've seen where God spoke something forth many, many times in my life, a future event. I've shared this story before again, but when I was in Bible college, we had someone that was a prophet and his wife, I mean, literal, legitimate, walked in that office of prophet and prophesied very powerfully. And man, y'all know what I'm talking about when I talk about people getting their mail read. And so this guy is, he's reading everybody's mail, and I'm there with a bunch of students at this school, and I know all these guys, and he is reading their mail, and it is accurate. I mean, it's pinpointed, saying things about them and their life that there's no way this man could have possibly known. But there was also a future type of content to the prophecies about what God was going to do in their lives. And then he points at me and says, and you, God is going to use you in film. And I remember, I'm sitting there and I started looking around and I did like this. I said, me? He said, yes, you. God says he's going to use you in film. And I'm like, that's never even been a thought in my mind. That's not a desire in my heart. He's got to be missing this one. And I remember that going on, but 16 years later, that word stuck to me. I never could get rid of it. And 16 years later, one week I'm talking to a particular man who also had a kind of a prophetic gifting, and I said, man, something was spoken over me 16 years ago that makes no sense to me, but for some reason I can't forget about it. It stuck to me. And he says, well, Pastor, you never know, somebody, you could get a phone call this week and it'll all make sense. I said, well, that would be awesome. I have no plan to be an actor. I have no plan to be involved in film and on that level. So what happens is I get a call, and some of you know this, but I get a call from someone. They're putting together a documentary on homelessness. And they said, we prayed about it. We believe God wants you to write the theme song for this documentary. And immediately, because I did a lot of songwriting that I used to love to do, did a lot of that stuff, immediately it dawned on me that film is not just acting and it's not just, working with cameras, but every film has to have music. And they have a theme song, typically, in every film. And so instantly I knew, wow, 16 years later, all of a sudden it makes sense. And I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, if this is you, give me the music. Give me the song. And he did. And I wrote it down. And I had it recorded. And I actually had it professionally done. So I went, I recorded it. We, you know, a good friend of mine had all the mixing equipment and all that. And then I had it professionally mastered in Houston at a place where they do that. And I gave that to them and I said, what do you think about this? The lady cried her eyes out. She said, there couldn't be a more perfect song for this project. So now that's the only time it ever happened. And by the way, it even won awards. It won, the thing won Telly Awards in the New York Film Festival and the Los Angeles Film Festival. That was prophesied 16 years before, and it never made sense to me. So today, I believe in the prophetic word, and I do believe that it still has the element of future events. That God knows the future, and he can speak through those who prophesy. So this can be a word of something that is, again, going to take place in a person's future or a church's future. But I will tell you this, don't try to make something happen that somebody prophesied over your life. If it makes no sense, you do what I did. You stick that thing on the shelf. And you say, Lord, one day, if it makes sense or you direct it, I'll take it. It's there. But don't try to make it happen, because there are some people out there who claim to be prophets who are saying all kinds of stuff that don't come from God. So I'm just warning you, all right? And by the way, when you get a prophetic word, you want to get confirmation on that prophetic word, especially if it's a word of future and direction, all right? So it also could be a word that'll impact certain people within the church. So let me give you the second part. The B is that sometimes it's a word of confirmation. Like I just said, prophecy should have confirmation involved with it. Sometimes a prophetic word is a word that confirms something to the church or to members of the body that God has been dealing with them about already. So until you have the confirmation, you don't act on it. Again, part of our story is that before we came here, we were working in a church in Oklahoma. Before going to Oklahoma, we were working in my pastor's church in Lake Charles. We did for a while. And then the Lord called us to go to Oklahoma. But when that happened, we said, we ain't moving till God says to move. And we go to this, again, this tent meeting out on Moling Street. I'll never forget. And it's a man and a lady there. And they preach, and someone had invited us to go. And Pastor Cindy and I had three things we were concerned about that we put before the Lord. We said, Lord, we don't know if we're supposed to go. We kind of feel like maybe it's time. But she was concerned about family members, especially on her side of the family, that she felt maybe didn't know Christ. They weren't ready. And we wanted to be here for them. We also were concerned about a house. Where in the world are we going to live? Because the church was not going to be able to pay us a kind of a salary for that. And then we were concerned about our kids being uprooted. We didn't want to have to uproot our four kids. You know, we had already done that coming out, leaving San Antonio to come here. And we didn't want to just uproot our kids. All right, so those three things were very specific that we were praying about. And this lady, she's not even the one that preached. She was the guy's wife. But at the end, they end the service, and everybody's about to leave, and I couldn't even tell you these people's names. I don't even know who they were, and they had no idea who we were. But we're about to leave, and the lady says, hold on a minute. Hold on. And she points us out, and she says, the Lord has a word for you. And the Lord says to tell you, yes, yes, yes. He said it. She said just like that. Then she looks at us, and she says, and the Lord says, and she points to Pastor Cindy and says, don't worry about the family. I'll take care of that. And then she points to me and says, and don't worry about the house. I'm already taking care of that. And don't worry about the kids. I'm already changing their hearts. And you could have hit me with a baseball bat, and I wouldn't have even known it was there, because I was so stunned by the accuracy of that prophetic word. And I knew this woman is hearing from God. And so we're like, we have our answer. You know, there's confirmation there. And of course, we got the confirmation from our pastor as well. So afterwards, the woman says, she's talking to us about this, and then she looks at me and she calls me pastor. And I said, well, you know, I'm not a pastor. I said, we're going to be serving as a youth pastor if we go. And she says, yeah, you'll do that. You'll do that for a little while. But before 2 years is out, you're going to be a senior pastor of a church. And I'll never forget, I told Pastor Cindy when we left, I said, I'm astounded how accurate somebody could be like that and then at the end miss it like that. And I'll never forget. Pastor Cindy looked at me and she said, she didn't miss anything, you know, and that was it. But she knew how I felt. I've told you guys about how I didn't want to be a pastor and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, understand, I ain't griping about the fact that I'm a pastor, and I hope it doesn't ever come across like that. I'm just telling you that was what my attitude was back then, all right? So she says that, and sure enough, it wasn't even 2 years. Within about a year and a half, here we are in Iowa pastoring this church. And so why am I saying that? Here again, God is specifically giving us a prophetic word that's speaking into our future. We didn't even know. We had no idea, but God knew, right? And so then sometimes it's a correction of sin or warning to repent, that prophetic word. We don't like those, but we ought to thank God for them. Sometimes the Spirit will move with a word of admonishment to get right with God or to turn from a certain sin, to change something. And it's always going to be for our good, for our sake, all right? And then also, D, is that it can also be a word of encouragement. Prophecy can absolutely be an incredible word of encouragement. I've had many of those kind of words. You know, when God moves by the Holy Spirit with a strong word to keep the faith, to hold on, or to increase, or that increase or blessings are coming our way, man, we love those kind of words, right? And I'm thankful, and we've had many of those over the years, and I'm very, very thankful for all of those. Again, I'm going to tell you one more, and then I'm going to close this out because we are definitely out of time. But again, I was at a service in Lafayette, and a man by the name of Tommy, oh my goodness, I guess his name's not important, but he used to run the camp in Columbus, Texas, and Tommy Birchfield, and he's preaching at this church, and he uses this name, the name McCartney, and he says, does anybody in this, there's hundreds of people in there, does anybody here know anybody by the name McCartney? Well, I know a guy by the last name of McCartney. I'm thinking, surely he's not talking about that guy. And so nobody in the whole place raises their hand. So we ask it again. Nobody raises their hand. He asked it again. He said, look, if you even know anybody by the name of McCartney, I need you to stand up. And I look around, ain't nobody standing up. So I stood up. He says, young man, come up here. So then he calls me up, and then he calls a few other people up. And then he begins to minister to me. And this is happening not too long after I had went through a little stage of rebellion and backsliding and was so discouraged with myself and so, I mean, just so disappointed with myself and really, really down and thinking God will never be able to use me and specifically prayed, Lord, I don't want just the anointing that I had before. I want double that anointing. And I remember I was praying that kind of out of desperation. And I knew that God had used me growing up, and I, you know, wrote songs and did all kind of stuff, and the Lord used me even as a young man. So I'm dealing with all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, as I'm standing at the altar, the love of God just begins to flood me like I had never experienced before. I mean, just flood me. And when this man, he's giving words to people as he comes down the line, and he gets close to me and he goes, this young man loves God. Wow, the love of God is all over him. Well, I knew, I was experiencing that in the moment. And then he begins to prophesy to me. And one of the things he said is, he said, you know, young man, the Lord has heard your prayer. He sees everything that you've gone through, everything you did, all of this. He loves you. He's not holding anything against you. And he wants you to know that that anointing you asked him for specifically, it's yours. And then he tells me, and not only that, but in about 6 months, something is going to happen to you. Something is going to happen in your life that's going to change your life forever. Well, I will tell you, after that, looking back on it, 6 months to the day, I met Cindy. I met my wife. 6 months to the day. Now, again, I believe in the prophetic word. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll talk more about this. Next week, I want to start with this, a guide for prophecy. really understanding prophecy and a guide for prophecy. And then we'll just take as much time as we need to deal with all these different gifts. So, all right. So how many of you want the gifts to operate in your life? See, if you want that, now I'm going to ask you again. I want you to raise your hands really high if you would like God's gifts to operate through you for His glory and His glory alone. Okay? Now, if you ashamed to admit that you want His gifts to operate through you, well, just forget it, because it ain't going to operate through you. So you're gonna stay where you are. But I'm telling you right now, I'm speaking on this tonight because the Holy Spirit led it. If you want it, not for your glory, for His glory, lift your hands up high right now. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you see these hands. You see the hunger. Lord, I know that there are questions. They wondering how in the world can this possibly happen. But, Father, I thank you that as we walk in humility toward you and as we seek you with all of our heart, that Holy Spirit, you will never do anything in or through us that will harm us or harm those around us. Father, I pray that these folks, Lord, that the Spirit of God will begin to activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit within them. Lord, that in situations, Father, Lord, those words of knowledge will begin to pop up, and those words of wisdom will begin to pop up, and prophetic words will begin to pop up, Father, in their spirit, oh God. And Lord, I know, God, that it's a great responsibility for us to carry because we're representing you. But Lord, I thank you that you died and you bled and you suffered so that you could send the Holy Spirit to us, to live in us, to equip us, to empower us. And Lord, you gave us these beautiful, awesome gifts to flow through us to people. Lord, you never asked us to do this naturally. You never asked us to do it by our own strength. So, Lord, I pray, help each one of us. You see the hands. Help each one of us, Lord, to be able to yield to your spirit. Lord, in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of love, and I pray, use these people for your glory. Thank you, Father. It's the Holy Spirit who qualifies us. So we open our lives to the Holy Spirit. Use us as pipelines for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.